And now it is guest time, and I'm joined in the studio by podiatrist Neil McAllister from Kinetic Podiatry Clinic Limited. So a very good afternoon.
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
I'm very pleased with myself for managing to say podiatrist.
You've done very well.
As a career, what made you want to get into podiatry?
I actually found it by accident. I was going to become a PE teacher originally at secondary school. Then I twisted my knee running for the bus one day and literally couldn't run for a year. I could just about walk. And then I was sent to a podiatrist at the time back in Northern Ireland. And then they did some insoles for me. I was in the air training corps at that time and was doing my Gold Duke Renderers Award. And we had the march, the 100-mile march coming up. And thankfully, during that 8 days of doing 100 miles, I had no issues with my knee at all. But I thought, doing the 4 years of PE, it would probably make my knee a lot worse. So I thought I'd knock that on the head. And then I saw an advert for podiatry, and it just said elderly, diabetes, sports injuries, minor surgery. And I thought, oh, that sounds quite cool. And I quite like physics and maths and sports. And so I spoke to one of the guys there, and he was a biomechanics specialist, so those who assess how people walk. And that I use, again, a lot of maths and physics. And he offered me a place at Northampton. And then 24 years later, here I am now, my own private business, working in the NHS.
What conditions do you treat, and how can someone's feet affect their overall health?
So there's two main foot types. There's a really excessively pronated foot, or a flat foot, and a really high arch foot. Most patients present with some degree of low arch or flat feet. Okay. Now, this is due to a small bony deformity within the ankle area. Now, this is hereditary. So when patients are complaining of bunions, sore feet, ankle, shin, knee, hip, and lower back pain, it's not necessarily that as the issue. It's the underlying cause, which is normally the flat feet, which is causing all these problems. And that's then when I can step in, excuse the pun, and I can help address that and then help manage the patient's pains and problems and make them walk a lot better.
There's certain careers that cause more problems with the feet than others.
You don't have to necessarily be sporty to need insoles or see a podiatrist. Even just walking to the shops or walking the dog and stuff like that. It's when patients start increasing their activity levels, that's when they start to have lots of aches and pains, especially over the COVID time where a lot of people were, you know, not socialising as such, only with their own families, within their own unit. A lot more people were doing walking, and a lot more people were starting to suffer because of the longer walks they were doing and the increased activity level. And then once everything settled down, and as a medical practitioner, I was able to work, and I was able to help these patients.
You were saying about age groups, because sometimes we think about feet causing problems as we are older.
Yeah.
But you actually treat young children as well, because obviously when you start to walk, there can be imbalances of where you just get used to leaning a certain way.
Absolutely.
Or only leaning on certain parts of your foot, and that can lead to more problems as you get older.
Absolutely, yeah. So my son, he's 7.5 now. He's had insoles since he's 2 or 3. Now, I've done this for a long time, this job, so I see a pattern. It's sort of pattern analysis as well. So even though I can't fix his feet, I can help manage the condition, and that's where the insoles come in. It's not about fixing you, it's about managing the condition itself. So it helps reduce the rate of any deformities you're likely to incur later in life. That's the big thing. That's what I try to achieve and help my patients that way.
Now it's gone high tech. So you've got gait analysis,
yeah.
And then you've got your 3D foot scans.
That's right. So when a patient comes to me, either through an insurance company referral from Bupa, Aviva, WPA, or dizzying off the street, or referral from another patient, they'll say they've got ankle sprains, they keep tripping over all the time, or big toe joint pain, shin splints, knee pain, hip and lower back pain. I'll assess how the patient walks once, and we'll do some video gait analysis for that, and I film the patient walking from 5 different positions. Then I like to show the patient what's going on. Not that I need to explain myself, but it's just really to give the patient more spatial awareness of what's going on with their mechanics, so they can actually see why they've been suffering for so long and why this is occurring. Once I've seen that, then I provide the patient with temporary insole. All right, I don't go straight to custom insoles. I want the patient to feel the benefit. It's all very well me telling them I can help them fix it or help manage their condition, but I want the patient to feel it. And then, you know, once they feel that and they know, then they choose to move on to more longer term insoles after that. So I try to be fair.
And they kind of change the position, the way your feet actually sit to the floor. So it could tilt you up, it could tilt you slightly forward, and basically get you aligned properly. So you're walking.
Absolutely.
Without leaning to one side, because we've all got such bad posture now from looking at our phones as well,
yeah.
Which doesn't help.
Round the shoulders. So,
yes.
So with excessive pronation, for example, as the feet and ankles roll in, it makes your legs internally rotate. So, you know, your listeners could do right now is stand with their feet shoulder width apart, both feet facing forwards. If your knees are facing inwards, that is an indication of internal rotation. This then impacts the hips, the heads of the femurs, so they're rotating forward. This then can lead to really tight glute muscles, which can lead to sciatica, all right? It also makes your pelvis rotate back as well, so it increases the curvature of your lower back. So when you're young, you're okay because you're still developing, but as you physically mature from your 20s, 30s, and so on, it starts to put more pressure on the lower spine, and this can impact your L4, L5, S1 vertebrae. Even though you have the same anatomy in both feet as well, there'll be a slight structural deviation, so one foot will be slightly flatter, which then means that leg will internally rotate more than the other side. This then can cause a hip torsion. So one part of the hip, and this is very moderate now, this is not like massive, this is very moderate. One part of the hip will rotate forward and one slightly back. This then can lead to a scoliosis of the spine. Okay, you're not born with scoliosis, you develop this way. Okay, this then can lead to muscle imbalances in your back, or maybe one side or one shoulder can be tighter than the other side, and that all can be helped managed with a pair of insoles, but they have to be done right though. That's the thing.
But it's all very mathematical, isn't it? As you said, it's like, yeah, it's like going from A to B to work stuff to work it out.
And when you see the results, it's awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, literally, I know it sounds really dramatic, but I can literally change your life. It's brilliant. You know, little kiddies coming in or patients coming in with aches and pains, and they've been suffering for years and years and years. And, you know, I spend 2 or 3 sessions with them and their foot pain's gone, their leg pain's gone, done.
Do most people wear, Neil, the wrong type of shoes? And I love being barefoot. Yes. I don't particularly like shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have seen people on TikTok and Instagram taking part in this new thing, which is to run barefoot.
Yeah.
But the guy who did it said that his feet were absolutely ruined at the end of running, because running all the different surfaces. So is it good to not wear shoes? Or?
So it's not necessarily the shoe is the problem. It's the foot type. So a lot of patients will go out and buy these shoes. I won't just necessarily say any makes, but a lot of shoes will be purporting to have various insoles in there and they all do this and they're all singing and all dancing. They actually will do nothing for you. All they're doing is just a raised or thickened insole. That's all it's doing. It's not supporting your foot. Because the variation in each patient's foot can vary, even on the same patient, each foot can slightly change. The shoe companies can't have to have a generic insole inside there. Otherwise, everyone's going to start suffering with various aches and pains. So it's not necessarily the footwear, it's the foot type within the shoe, which is the problem. That's the thing. Obviously, if you're wearing slip-on shoes, again, with flat feet, for example, or excessive pronation, as that foot rolls in, it makes the toes claw to get more grip. And then that can put more pressure on the tips of the toes, the toe joints, and especially wearing a slip-on shoe that has to be smaller to fit your feet. That then starts putting more pressure, but then, you know, people have their vanity as well, don't they?
You see, I've been terrible because I love a flip-flop. Not the flat ones, can't wear those.
Yeah.
But you know the brand I mean. Yeah. And they've got a slight heel on them, not massively, but I've worn those for years. Because as soon as it gets to even this weather, I get my shoes off.
Yeah.
And then I put those, but I can't wear them anymore because it doesn't, it's done something to
me. That's a really good point. That's an awesome point. I'm glad you brought that up. So basically, a lot of flat-footed patients can't wear flip-flops, especially the little thong ones between their big toe and second toe, because what happens in it, it literally strips the skin off there. All right. So as a minimum, I normally recommend a company called Vionic. All right. And I've got no, you know, anything attached to them. It's just they have a good functional sandal as a minimum for a patient. And as you say, nobody wants to wear shoes during the summertime.
No.
Let's be realistic, they don't. So as a compromise, I say to the patient, look, get a pair of these, or even Crocs. Crocs can actually be all right. Or Fit Flops is another one. Okay,
yes.
So just find whatever works best for you, which you can still have some support, but it's not going to cut your feet to bits.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's just getting the right, it's just finding the right sandal for you, for your foot type.
I've got a question in. This is from Samantha Jane, who listens into the show.
Oh,
she said, treatment for bunions. She's got bunions. Is it due to her wearing the wrong shoes, or what would advice would you give to get it sorted?
So, from my experience, most bunion, it depends on the... So, if your big toe is sort of deviating across the second toe, all right, and it's not straight, that is a form of bunion, okay, or HAV, hallux abductor valgus. Sometimes you'll end up with a joint will start protruding as well. Unless it's really painful all the time, then potentially surgery can be quite effective for that because you can straighten it up. However, you have to fix the underlying reason of why that's occurring in the first place. So a lot of patients, as I've noticed over the last 2 decades of doing this, patients will have surgery. It looks all lovely and straight, looks fantastic. But a few years later, it starts to come back again because the underlying problem's not been addressed. That's it. And that's where the insoles then can come in. There's another condition called hallux limitus, hallux rigidus, where the big toe can appear straight, but you have a massive big lump on your big toe joint, and that is basically where the foot's been rolling in all those years, and the base of the big toe joint has been, the two bones there have been rubbing together, and it's resulted in excess bone formation, which is then fusing the joint. That's the thing. So again, the insoles can help manage and mitigate the rate of the deformity that's occurring. Just recently as well, going back to the electronic equipment, I just acquired a medical laser. So now I've got a much more effective way of treating verrucas.
Oh, right.
Absolutely, yes. It's laser is fantastic. I love it. treating verrucas over the years has been very difficult. And because it's a virus, you can't guarantee the patient when it will go. So normally you see them once a month, debride sort of the overlying skin, make it bleed, stimulate the healing process. And that, you know, some patients, it can get rid of it in a couple of weeks. Others, it can take many months. With a laser, I've literally had about four or five patients where it's taken like one or two treatments.
Yeah.
And it's gone. It's been brilliant. But also those with diabetes is another thing as well. It can help do diabetic assessments, but also you can encourage any ulcerations and stuff like that. It can speed up the healing process. Musculoskeletal injuries as well, any sort of joint aches and pains and muscular aches and pains, the laser is brilliant for that. It's absolutely, I love it. It's brilliant.
Very interesting chat with you today. Lovely to meet you as well.
It's been a pleasure, Michelle.
I know that Paul absolutely loves you, as he said to me earlier. We love him too. He's doing very well. So thanks for looking after our Paul Golder. And if you want to find out more, Kinetic Podiatry Clinic Limited, they are based here at the Brentwood Centre, and it's all the W's, kineticpodiatry.co.uk. And if you go to the website, you can see all the latest equipment that they've got there and all the services they offer. So thanks very much, Neil.
Michelle, thank you for your time today.
You're welcome.